Amen. How many got your Bibles? Amen. Good to see the good crowd out and a lot of folks come back into church today. I want to welcome you back. Thank God for you. Good to see Miss Cindy today. Thank God for you. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. Chad, you come up. Our sister pastor is going to do the reading. I've got a lot of verses, and I'm going to save my strength for preaching. Matthew 22, if you're there, say amen. Verse number 15 through 46. Brother Chad.
Matthew 22, verse 15. The Bible says, "Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought it unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, If a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her." Jesus answered and said unto them, "Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?" And no man was able to answer him a word. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions.
Thank you, Pastor, for reading the Word of God. How many love the Bible? Amen. I love this passage of Scripture. I want to, in these next 4 weeks, all of us get centered in on Calvary, on Christ, the solid rock. We're heading toward Easter. We're heading toward the greatest event that ever took place, the resurrection of the dead. The Lord Jesus is coming to the end of His ministry. It's going to consummate at the death, His death upon Calvary. And by this time, His enemies were getting stronger, more wicked, and putting more pressure on Him than ever before. It is going to be leading to when all of them get together to crucify Him upon Calvary's cross. There's three different groups of people, if you paid attention to the reading of the Word, that came to Jesus asking Him a question. Now, I want to say something before I do a little exegesis on this. They had a bad attitude. Somebody help me preach. Their motives are wrong. Their manner is wrong. And all they came to Jesus for was to trick Him, entangle Him, and confuse Him. But what they didn't know, or seemingly were ignorant of, He was the great I Am. He was from the beginning. He knew it all. First of all, we had the Herodians. Now, I want to explain who they are. They were the political group of the Jews. They were political. They were just simply political. They didn't have a spiritual bone in them. If you noticed, alongside them was the Pharisees. Now, it's kind of unique, Chad, because they didn't like each other. Somebody help me preach. But they had a common enemy, and His name was Jesus. You ever see how some people that don't like each other, but if they don't like you, they both come and try to destroy you? Somebody help me preach. And here's what they asked Jesus. Now get this. These politicians was wanting money. Somebody help me preach. And wanting taxes. And the Pharisees didn't like them because they didn't want Rome to rule. And they were there saying, I see how He's going to answer this. And He took a coin out. Somebody help me. I'm about to preach. He took a coin out. A penny, but I'm using a quarter. And He said, well, whose head is on that? And they said, Caesar's. When He looked at them, boy, I like it when Jesus nails them. Somebody help me preach. And said, well, and I believe He's looking at the Herodians. You render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Then He looked over probably at the Pharisees and said, and you render unto God, which is God. Somebody help me preach. By the way, we need to be loyal to our government and pay our taxes, but we don't need to forget to pay God. Good preacher, Reverend. Stay with me. Then there's a second group of people here. They weren't political. They were the Sadducees. And this group didn't believe in the resurrection. It's kind of ironic. They're going to ask Him a question about the resurrection, but they didn't believe in the resurrection. They only believed in the first 5 books of the Bible. They didn't believe in miracles. They were rationalists. By the way, there's a lot of people that don't believe in miracles, but I'm going to raise my hand and tell you, I'm serving a miracle-working God. I'm serving a God that can raise you up and heal you and save you and deliver you. Thank God for that. I'm going somewhere. Y'all stay with me. I'm picking up steam. I think I'm going to preach a little bit, man. And here's their question. Jesus, A man had a wife. And he died. And his brother married her according to the Levitical law. And then he died. And a third one married her. And before it was all over, Jesus, she went through seven of them. And she died. And here these guys that don't believe in the resurrection says this. Well, whose wife will she be at the resurrection? And Jesus just looked at them and said, you do her. How many believe there's a lot of people that really ought not handle the Bible because they do err? Somebody help me preach. I want you to know we need to preach this Bible line upon line and precept upon precept. And I want you to know what Jesus looked at him. He said, hey, listen to me. Oh, boy, glory to God. I'm about to. He said, you don't even know the scriptures, nor do you know the power of God. And when we all get to heaven, we're not going to be given in marriage. We're going to be as angels. Now, by the way, when your loved one dies, they're not going to be a angel. They're going to be as angel. They're going to not have relationship in heaven like we know it today, because we're all going to get married to the Lamb of God, to the Son of God, and we're going to worship Him. Whew, good preaching, brother. And then the Pharisees in verse 34, I'll give you a third question. I'm going somewhere. You all know that, don't you? The Pharisees asked Him a question too. He said, I want to ask you a question, Mr. Jesus. After He silenced the Sadducees, you said, why were the Sadducees, what do you mean by Sadducees? Well, they didn't believe in the resurrection, and they were sad, you see. You'll get that later. But the Pharisees came and asked Him, said, they asked Him a third question. Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Trying to trick Him up, Chris. And by the way, there were 613 commandments. 248 positive and 365 negative. And some say major and minor commandments. But Jesus summarized it all up in one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy might, with all thy heart, and thy neighbor as thyself. Somebody help me preach. So we've seen a political question, a philosophical question, a religious question, and now the King of Kings said, it's my turn. It's my turn. And I want to ask a question. Whew. By the way, may I say to you, I think it's life's greatest question. I think it is the most lofty, high question ever uttered out of the mouth of a person. And He said, whoo, glory. In verse 42, would you look at it? What think ye of Christ? Amen. Whose son He is. Somebody help me preach. I am for a lot of different stuff. But when at the end of the day, it don't matter what you are politically. It really don't even matter about some of your philosophy. And God knows it doesn't matter about your religion. It matters is, what do you think of Christ? Whew. I don't want to talk to you this morning about Joe Biden. He doesn't spend 2 months in office and he's been the worst ever. Good preaching. I ain't going to say much about it. I'm not even going to talk much about football. Not at this time. I'm not going to talk to you about politics or religion. By the way, religion takes most people to hell. Somebody help me preach. It's not being a Baptist why you're going to heaven. It's not a Methodist why you're going to heaven. It's not because you're a Catholic why you're going to heaven. You're going to heaven because one day you recognize Christ for who He was. Amen. And by the way, God's not the big daddy upstairs. He's the sovereign God. Let me answer the question. What thank you? Man, I'm having a good time this morning. I hope y'all are. What thank you of Christ? Hey, at the end of the day, your heaven and your hell, or heaven and hell, is at stake this morning. Amen? And it all depends on what do you think of Christ? Somebody help me preach. It doesn't depend on what you think of all kinds of goofy stuff. What do you think of Christ? I'll give you four things that was said about Jesus in this passage. And I'm about to lose my mule because I'm about ready to shout. Number one, I notice his divine identification card. He actually quoted Psalm 110 in verse number 43 and 44, where it said, "The Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, said unto my Lord," capital L, little O, little R, and little D. Somebody help me preach. The Lord said to my Lord, them big capital letters mean Jehovah or Father. Somebody help me preach. And that capital L, little O, little R, and little D is the word Adonai or Master or Jesus. Capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D said to Jesus, come on up here and sit down at my right hand. Somebody help me preach. I feel like my mule's about ready to shout. What he's saying is his divine identification is Jesus Christ is God. Amen. Tell the Mormons that. They believe he's an angel. I don't even know if they know what they believe. Jehovah Witnesses believe he's a God. Armstrongism believes he's some kind of energy. No, he is the very God. In creation, he was God. In pre-incarnation, he was God. What do you mean by pre-incarnation? You know Jesus showed up before he ever went to Bethlehem? You said, prove that to me. I'm glad you said that. In Genesis, he said, let us make man in our own image. Who in the world do you think that was? That was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. How many remember that time that Abraham and Sarah was doubting whether he was going to get a promised seed? And Sarah's in the tent laughing and giggling. And when the angels came, and one of them angels was a kind of different one of them angels. Guess who that one angel was? That's a little different. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. Who you think it was in the fiery furnace. And there was three of them flowed in, but there was a fourth one like unto the Son of God. I tell you who that was. That was a Christophany. That was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. Hey, he's God. He's God in creation. He's God in pre-incarnation. Somebody help me. Man, when the Lord said, let us make man our own image, he was God. Somebody help me. Isaiah saw him high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He was God. He's seated at the right hand of God right now making intercession. Can I tell you, he is God. He's not old Buddha. He's not dead Muhammad. He's not the priest. He's not the pope. He's not a cow who used to be your grandpa or grandma. He's God. A supreme personality. Co-equal. Co-identical and co-eternal with God the Father. A sovereign position at the right hand of God. And a sure prospect. I want you to know something. You might say, well, I'm not going to confess him here. I want you to know there'll be a day that every knee is going to bow. Somebody help me preach. And every tongue shall confess that he is Savior, Lord, King, and High Priest. Thank you, Brother Ray. Hallelujah. Number two, I'm trying to get somewhere. Am I doing all right, Lois? I think I am. Number two, not only his divine identity, but his definite incarnation. When he asked them, "What think you of Christ?" Those Pharisees real quickly said, "You're the son of David." And by the way, they were right. Somebody help me preach. But I want y'all all to know, he was far more than that. Somebody help me preach. When he came to this earth, he came to this earth with a sacrificial mindset. He didn't come to sightsee. He didn't come to gaze over the Sea of Galilee and see how beautiful it was. Why would he? He made it. He didn't come down here looking to see all the beauties of creation because he made it. No, I'll tell you why he came. He came to die on the cross of Calvary for you and me. He is the Son of God, and he also is the Son of David. He is the pure God-man. He had a single-minded mission. How many of you would leave your throne knowing when you came that he's going to arrest you and crucify you and hang you and beat you with a cat of nine tails to the edge of your life? How many of y'all would come and thank God he volunteered to come? Whew. Am I preaching? I don't want to go too far with this, but I think I better give you a little more. Some of you look like you need some more. Let me give you this example of Son of David, Son of God. He was out on a boat one day. I love it in your Passion of Christ. You have that boat, and he's in there asleep. And they come up and rest up and shook him and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" When he was asleep, he was the Son of David. But when he got up out of there and put his hands over the sea and said, "Peace be still," he was the Son of God. Do y'all want just a little more? Because I think I'm going to give you some more. Up on the cross, he said these words, "I thirst, Son of David." But one day he went to Samaria and then and met a woman at the well and said to her, "The water that I shall give thee, ye shall never thirst again." The Son of God. Somebody help me preach. On the cross, they hung him high and stretched his arms out and nailed his hands to the cross and his feet to the cross. And he cried, "It is finished." He was the Son of David. But 3 days later, 3 days later, he came up out of the grave. He didn't come out as the Son of David. He came out as the Son of God with great power. And I'll tell you about him. He has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Somebody ought to just get up in your seat and shout glory. All right, let me go on. Y'all okay? Number three, we have a divine identification, a definite incarnation. But I see thirdly, a deserved inauguration. By the way, ain't going to be like Biden's inauguration where they had to bring 15,000 troops. To protect that little thing. No, I ain't going to be like that. He ain't going to need no troops. All he needs is him. He's going to come one of these days as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. Somebody help me pray. Somebody get on my mule right now and ride it for me because I'm getting happy. I'm going somewhere. Well, thank you, Christ. Well, you might say, He's God. Well, that's good. That's nice you said that. You might say, well, he became man. That's good. That's nice you said that. And you might say, well, he's sitting at the right hand of God. That's real nice you said that. But my question to you is this. Where's he sitting in your life? I know he's high. I know he's on the right hand of God. But where is he sitting in your life? Somebody help me preach. I see a complete work. He sat down. I'm going to say this. I'm going to be real quiet down a little bit. Because I'm going to get some hate mail after I say this. So I want all y'all to be my witnesses. When he died on the cross, he finished the plan of salvation. And it's not by baptism. It's not by church membership. It's not by you being good. You know, there's a crowd. There's a church down Hurricane up on the hill. They believe, you know, they believe that you got to be baptized for the remission of sins. I want to tell you what can wash away my sin. What? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's only one way to heaven. You tell the Church of Christ I told them that. You tell the universal church. It ain't you confirming a kid at 8 days old. It ain't you sprinkling them. It ain't you praying 10,000 our fathers. No, it's you calling on God and trusting in Jesus. Amen. By the way, I know y'all love me, but not everybody in this community loves me. And I tell you who dislikes me the most. That's that baptismal regeneration crowd. A few years ago, I'll tell y'all this story. I preached a sermon similar to this. Real hard on the blood. Real hard on Christ. And excluded all works and all baptism. And all the things that man might do. And this guy heard I'd done it. He's one of them baptismal generation guys. This is when I was young. I'm skinny now. I weigh 430 then. Whew, I was a big boy. And that knucklehead came down to the office, to the gymnasium. I was in there playing ball, 435-pound playing ball. And he said, I want John Smith. I am going to straighten him out today about that baptism thing. Well, he didn't come to my waistline. I walked out and he's sitting up right there. I said, and what did you want? He said, I can't remember. I said, I know who you are. I want you to look you right in your little face right now. And I want to tell you, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's not by baptism. It's not by your good works. It's not by how many people you dunk. It's because they've been dunked in the blood, washed in the blood. And hallelujah. Good preaching. Somebody help me. Complete work. A certain way. There ain't but one way to heaven. Then I see choice worthy. How many of y'all believe he's worthy? Amen. Come on, wave at me. I'll tell you what he's worthy of, Chad. He deserves soul control. How many believe he ought to be in control? You know why some of y'all mess up all the time? Can I tell you? I'm going to be your pastor, but love on you a little bit, but I'm going to tell you the truth. You know why you're a mess about half the time? Because you try to fix everything, and you think you're in control. I want you to know, if you believe he's high and lifted up, he's in soul control. Somebody help me preach. I'm preaching good here this morning. And by the way, he deserves servant commitment. How many of y'all believe after we got saved, we ought to be committed to God? We ought to be servants of God? Hey, if he done all that at Calvary, and he is the Son of God, and every knee's going to bow, how many of you believe we ought to serve him now and be committed now? We ought to pay our tithe, be faithful to the church, love God, love others. Somebody help me. And he deserves surrender, consecration. Hallelujah. He's our master. He's the master. But my question is he your master? Whew. I'm done. Well, almost. Fourthly, and I'm done. after he done said all that to them, you know what they done, Chris? Look at verse 46. This really helped me. And no man was able to answer him a word. And the rest of his ministry, they didn't ask him a question. Somebody help me. You know why you don't need to ask a question about him? Because he answers all questions. He can answer any problem, any situation that you're going through. He is your hope. He's your help. He's your sustainer. He's your Lord. Somebody help me. Whew. Then I see, fourthly, a divisive instigation. You know, see, the position you take on Christ is whether you're going to go to heaven or whether you go to hell. You know, in our society, we divide people in. We divide people. You know, we got white people and black people and Asian people and Hispanic people and then light brown people and very dark people. And we do that. We're divisive. I want you all to know something. When Jesus comes, He loves everybody. Red and yellow, black and white. They all precious in His sight. Somebody help me preach. And really, they just two groups. And they that group that willingly receives Him. And then there's that group that willingly rejects Him. See, here's the thing. I'm winding up. This morning, you can either receive Jesus or accept Jesus, or reject Jesus. He's either God's son or He's not. He's either your ticket to heaven or He's not. He's either your master or He's not. You either love Him or hate Him. You either have no faith in Him or you believe in Him. Here's the fact. If you're in this room lost, the bottom line is you either receive Him or reject Him. Now I'm done preaching. I'm going to give one final illustration. I like the illustration the lawyer gave a few weeks ago about Niagara Falls. I won't give you the great Melinda, but there's been other people stretched a tightrope across the Niagara Falls. One certain person stretched a tightrope all the way across the Niagara Falls. And by the way, somebody going to do that. I'm going to come and watch. How about y'all? And there was hundreds or even thousands of people there watching him. And he asked him this question. How many of y'all believe I can walk over and walk back? And a few people heckled him, saying, ain't no way. Ain't no way. It's raining. It's crazy. Ain't no way he can get across. Well, he walked across and walked back. Then he looked at him, and some of them said, well, you the man. Then he looked at him and he said, how many of y'all think I could take this barrel and go across and come back? And well, they said, if he can walk across, probably he can take a barrel across. He went across and came back. He asked one of his helpers, he said, put rocks in this barrel. Put about 100 pounds of rocks in. How many of y'all believe I can take these rocks in this barrel across and come back? And they said, oh, I think so. So we went across and we come back. And he looked at him. He said, how many of y'all think I could take a person in this barrel across this tightrope? They said, oh, yeah. And he looked. He said, which one of you like to be first? And they all backed off. When it comes down to your eternity, you're either going to say yes to Jesus or no to Jesus. You're either going to reject Jesus or receive. Somebody help me preach. Hey, by the way, you may be in here and say, I'm a church membership. I ain't good enough. I ain't good enough. You might say you've been bad. That ain't what I'm wanting to know. I want to know what think you of Christ. Is He your Lord? Have you trusted Him? Has He changed your life? Do you know He's in your life? Somebody help me. Bow your head with me. I wonder how many would like to get near him this morning and know you're saved. How many right now say, preacher's men, if I died today, I'm 100% sure that I'd go to heaven because I know I trusted Christ as my Savior. Raise your hand. Hold them up high. If you don't know, don't hold them up. If you're a church member, don't hold them. Don't hold them. Thank you. How many right here, right now, say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Maybe you've had a religious experience, but you're not sure you're saved. And you say, preacher Smith, right now I'd like for you to pray for me. Would you slip up your hand if you're not sure you're saved? And I want to know I'm saved before Jesus comes back or before I die and go to hell. Just slip it up. Slip it up. God bless that hand. Somebody else. Come on, come on, come on, real quickly. Don't depend on your church membership. What thank you of Christ? Stand with me. If you want to come and get saved, or you want to come and just say, I want to sell out to God, you come. Our Father, right now, you touch the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. You come.